In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our task today and this week as we prepare to celebrate the birth of Christ is to be sure that we are celebrating the birth of the Christ who was crucified, died on the cross, arose, ascended, and sent the Holy Spirit, and not the Jesus of our society around us, not the Jesus of the culture that developed hundreds of years after the time of the apostles. A culture, a civilization that identifies itself with Christianity even when no one believes in Christ. Still, a Christian country. Europe, it's come to my knowledge recently, identifies itself as having a Christian heritage, an identity that it wants to protect from massive immigration from outside of their tradition. People who are self-avowed atheists, who don't believe in God, let alone his incarnate Son, identify themselves as Christians. And even in our own country, we identify ourselves as Christians in a cultural kind of way, in a family kind of way. And when we celebrate the birth of Christ, we celebrate the birth of someone who is not Jesus, the Christ, the Son of God incarnate, come into the world to join us, our humanity, to him bodily, so that our lives lived physically in the world can be holy lives. That's the Christian message and the importance of celebrating the birth of Christ. Today is the last day of resurrection before we celebrate the Nativity of Christ. Every Sunday is a day of resurrection. Every Sunday is a little Pascha. Pascha we celebrate once a year. It is the center of everything, the resurrection. The resurrection that makes it possible for us to live a life at one with God, not just in our mind, but in our hearts, and that means physically, not just spiritually, not just because of what we believe, but because a new way of life is made possible for us. A life that we can only touch and we can only share in and participate in by repentance, by confession, and by receiving the body and blood of Christ into our own bodies, so that our bodies are given over to him, so that all of us is given over to him. The words that we sang at Vespers last night were our preparation for the celebration of the Divine Liturgy this morning. They are so significant and they are so different from the celebration even on the part of those Christians who celebrate the birth of Christ, because in this country there are people who call themselves Christians who don't celebrate the birth of Christ. Incredible. And those Christians who do celebrate the birth of Christ, many of them are involved in a political identity war with the society around them. There is a different way of sharing in the birth of Christ that has been lost to our self-oriented society that is fixated on the problem of identity. They don't know who they are anymore. We don't know who we are anymore. We who unite ourselves to Christ bodily, spiritually, we are children of God through Christ incarnate. Last night we sang, "The never setting sun presses forward to rise." The never setting sun. The sun in the sky sets every night. The world turns. And the sun goes down below the horizon every evening since the beginning. It is the sun that sets, the sun of this world. But this S-U-N, sun, the Son of God, is going to be born into this world as the light of the world and will never set. One time he will arise. We're not talking about the resurrection after crucifixion. We're talking about his birth into this world. The light arises over the horizon. The light that is the Son of God will never set. The light that gives light to our minds, to our hearts. The light by which we can understand who we are as human beings and what place our passions and desires have in our relationship to God and how this world is second. That light that makes it possible for us to see all of those things. That light that gives us warmth like the physical light of the world, the sun, our own star. If it were gone, there would be no life. It is the same with the Son of Righteousness, Jesus the Christ. Had he not arisen into our world, we would not be able to live our lives as true human beings. Each one of us able to live the unique life that God created us to live. That Son arises into this world. Before he arose, before he was born into this world, there was confusion, there was chaos. There were those who loved God, as we heard in the reading from St. Paul's letter to the Hebrews. There were those who loved God and longed for the Son that would orient them and give their lives fulfillment, even though they had to live on faith that one day this Son would arise in this world, that the Son of God would be born into this world. They didn't even know that that's what was going to happen, but their faith was in God. They had been given the promise, but they didn't know how the promise was going to be fulfilled. We sang, the never-setting sun presses forward to rise. It's talking about Mary, the Theotokos, on her donkey, on her way to Bethlehem, and within her, the never-setting sun presses forward to rise through a human being. A human being is involved right from the beginning. It has to be. Because if it's not that way, then once he has arisen into this world, once he has grown and ascends the cross and destroys the power of death and arises from the dead, if it doesn't involve our humanity, we won't be able to arise. We won't be able to trample down death in this world. We won't be able to trample down our sins. This is the Sunday of the Fathers. Last week was the Sunday of the Forefathers. The Sunday of the Forefathers commemorates and remembers everyone from Adam down. The Sunday of the Fathers, it seems to commemorate exactly the same ones, but in a different way. Last Sunday was about the forefathers of Christ in the flesh. This Sunday is about not the fathers of Christ, but the fathers, the righteous of the Old Testament, that are fathers sharing fatherhood through Christ. It includes all of those people that we mentioned in the genealogy today, from Abraham on. Everything is brought together. All of those are brought together. Brought together into what? Into what day? What are we about to celebrate? The birth of Christ. It is as if the entire human race, all of those who have loved God and all of those who have struggled and hoped for him, are pregnant. Mary is the one of us who gives birth physically, but it is like a pregnancy of the human race, including all of those who love God. God is going to be born into the world and fulfill that longing for his presence in the world. That's what we're talking about on last Sunday and this Sunday. The Son is to be born into this world, enlightening all things under heaven. How? Through human beings. Through me and you. Enlightenment comes into this world through a human being. Jesus Christ, the Son of God. A human being who is the new Adam. The old Adam is saved by being brought into this pregnancy that gives birth to the Son of God in the world, the Son, S-U-N, who is going to orient and enlighten everything and all of us so that we can live the lives that God created us to live. Let us prepare, we sang, to be born on high with him in spirit. When a baby is born, especially if it is your own child, your own flesh and blood, the two of you, mother and father, there is this raising of spirit that certainly can't be put into words. And at this birth, the spirit of all humankind who loves God arises in that same kind of way. By his own strange birth, he may lead us, we sang, who have become strangers to the path of life in Eden. It is a strange birth because he is fully a human child, but he is also fully God. And by this strange birth, those who had been lost upon the earth in the chaos of wandering since the fall at the beginning will no longer be strangers. There will be a path to Eden, a path to paradise. Paradise being the oneness that we can have with God the Father through Christ. And we celebrate that at each resurrectional divine liturgy, when we come forth and we take the body and blood of Christ into ourselves because we need to be physically, spiritually, and in every way one with God in order to be able to live the life that we are born into the world to live. We sang, the Word of God goes to dwell in a womb. The Word, capital W, the Son of God, the Word of God goes to dwell in a womb. We try to understand the Christian faith by reading books and reading words, but the fact is that the Word of God is not a human word. It is the Word of the Father, capital W. It means a person. The Word of God is a divine person, and that divine person goes to dwell in the womb of his mother Mary. Without passions, we sang, he is bound fast to the flesh. Passions are those things that grip us and push us this way and that. In Christ, there are none of those kinds of passions. There is feeling, there is even emotion, but all of it is a means of bringing things together and offering them up to God. Never are any of those things for one's own satisfaction directed to oneself based on one's own physical desires, spiritual desires of pride, that sort of thing. None of that in him. It has nothing to do with our humanity, and so it's not born in him. He comes to restore the first created man, Adam. He comes to restore the being that God created at the beginning. This new Adam, Jesus the Christ, is born without excluding or replacing the first Adam. It's not like the old Adam was bad, the new Adam is good. No, the old Adam is included in the birth of Christ. He is one of those forefathers and fathers, all of them included through being born of a human woman. Not excluded. It's not a set of ideas where we don't like this old Adam, we like this one. That's ideas in the head. This is reality. God is taking hold of the world that he created, and he is remaking it in order to be able to include all of the things that were lost in Eden. All of those things are included in Christ. And he is born into the world in order to share them with us. That's the meaning of the things that we're singing. The created Adam is included. All human beings are included. Everyone except those who reject being included. Except those who still want to stand alone and aside, separate from God. The way Satan did. The way he tricked Adam and Eve into doing. We can still choose to do that. Stand aside. I believe in Christ, but this is my life. My life is of this world. And so we don't die to ourselves. Then we are not included, but it's by our own choice. This is the kind of all-inclusiveness of this season that once was felt culturally. We like to watch the Victorian celebration of Christmas. Someone goes out into the street, it's snowing. They love all men, joy to all men. We love even secondhand, that sense of loving all men, all mankind, all men and women, all children. We are all included in the joy of this season. Once that sense was in our society, now it's gone. It's been replaced by something else. What we need to do is focus on the reality, focus on the source. How is it that we can love all mankind? By loving God, born into this world, and recognizing that all of my life is included in who and what He is what we've inherited from His having come into the world, taken on our humanity. O Word of God without beginning, the Virgin lays thee in a manger. Thou hast come to loose me from the fetters of evil with which the envious serpent bound me. These fetters bind us, this self-oriented effort to make ourselves in the image and likeness of the world and the prince of this world. Thou art wrapped in swaddling clothes. Swaddling clothes, what are they? They're strips of cloth that are torn up so that they can be used to wrap up the infant. Thou art wrapped in swaddling clothes, tearing to pieces the bonds of my countless sins. What's being said here is that our sins have been torn to pieces and wrapped up around this child who is the incarnate Son of God. He has come to destroy those sins, their power, to bind us up. We can remember Lazarus, who was brought forth from the tomb. Death was overcome. Unbind him, Christ said. Thou came to set me free. That is what we're celebrating at the Nativity of Christ. This is the one who has come to set us free. So all of the nostalgia and emotion that we feel, it's secondary. It's not evil, it's just secondary. If we're going to get back to the center of the celebration of the Nativity of Christ, of Christmas, this is what we have to do. These are the words that we have to hear. Therefore, with faith, let us all gather at this birth, rejoicing in chorus and singing the pre-festal praise. Adam rejoices today, adorned with the glory of divine communion. Seth dances, and Noah with him, all of those who have always desired this life that had previously been impossible and now is made possible by this one whose birth we celebrate. O cave made ready, for the ewe lamb come, the mother lamb. Shepherds abiding in the fields bear witness to the fearful wonder. Magi from Persia offer to the king gold, myrrh, and frankincense, for the Lord has appeared from a virgin mother. And she, bending over him as a handmaiden, worshipped him as he lay in her arms, saying to him, How wast thou sown as a seed in me? How hast thou grown within me, O my deliverer and my God? This is what is meant to be our spiritual life. It's appropriate for us to ask what Mary is asking the infant Christ. How wast thou sown in me, O my deliverer and my God? But we know how. Soon we will come to the chalice. We will receive Christ into ourselves. And unless we reject him by the way we live in the world, he will grow within us. If we nurture him within us, the way a mother nurtures a growing child within her body, if we nurture the presence of God in ourselves, then we will have this amazement of the presence of God living and growing within us. This is the content of our life as Christians. This is why we celebrate the birth of Christ. The wonder of the growth of God in us, as we empty ourselves of pride, we will greet one another with those special words of the season. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.